Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find Luke chapter 6 this evening. And we're going to talk about this subject tonight, about building your life on God's Word. About building your life on God's Word. It's something when you build your life on God's Word, what happens to your life? It's just awesome. Amen. Let's go here to, if you have a Bible, go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them." Now, you know, you could come to him and not do them. You could hear his sayings, but you come and you do them. I'll show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep. I got that circled. Digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and does not, or doesn't do anything with what he heard, does nothing, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, which against the stream did beat vehemently, or the storm, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So Jesus talked about two different types of people. He talked about those that hear and do, those that hear and don't do anything. So all you have to do is fail is just don't do anything. Just don't do anything you hear preached, and you're on your road to failure, according to Jesus. That's what he said. And so, but he gives us this picture of a guy who builds a house and he digs deep. In other words, he has to work hard. And he digs deep and he builds the house on a strong, firm foundation. Then he talks about another guy who he just took the easy way and built on top of the ground. And they both look good for a while. Really, you look at them, you can't tell any difference. You know, most people go to buy a house, you know, they don't even check out the foundation. How many of the last house you bought, you got under the house and check the foundation out? I didn't think so, right? But how many know that's the most important part? We just want to see that it's got nice looking rooms and carpet and hardwood floors and, you know, three bathrooms or whatever it is that your taste is, you know, four bedrooms and so forth and all that. And that's good, but that's just surface, that's just fluff stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the good bones in there. Amen. Amen. You got to have good bones in there. And I heard a story one time, it was told for a true story, about a builder who years ago was going through some lean times. And so he had a friend that was wealthy. And so he asked him, he said, because just to help him out, this guy had a lot of money just to help his friend out. He said, "Would you build me a house?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll do that," because he needed the work. So he had him to build the house, and his friend did this. His friend used cheap concrete, used cheap materials, did it cheaply because he was trying to make a little extra money. What a friend we have. Thank God for Jesus, right? So he did that. He built it. And when he got done, he was told that he went to give the keys to this guy he built it for. And the guy said, "Keep them. I was just doing this to bless you, and you can keep the house." See, had the guy known that, he would have put the good concrete in and everything. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But see, we can cheapen our lives by you know, not building on the Word. And the problem is storms are coming. Storms are coming. And so, but you have to, here's the thing. How many know it's not always easy? I'm talking to believers too. I'm not talking about people that don't know the Lord. Obviously, they're not going to build their lives on the Word. I'm talking about believers. Believers cannot build their, you know, they may go to heaven, but their lives weren't built on the Word. And so here's the thing. If you take the easy way, the results will be hard. What I mean by that? Well, the easy way is just to let your flesh do what it wants to do. That's the easy way. The hard way is to make your flesh obey God's word. But listen, if you take the easy way, the results are going to be hard. But if you take the hard way, you do like Jesus said, he dig deep into the earth. You take the hard way, the results will be easy. Yeah. Amen. And I've just noticed that in my life. When the results in my life are hard, it's because I took the easy way. When I take the hard way, it always pays off good. Amen. Yeah. How many know that's just, you don't really think about it, that's a principle of life. You know what I'm saying? If you take the easy way and you don't go to work, guess what happens? Results are tough. Anybody discovered that?
Oh, yeah.
You take the hard way, you work, you get good results. Yeah. Amen. It's like Andy said to Opie, doesn't it feel good when you work hard? He said, don't you feel good about that? You know, you do a job, you work hard. Opie goes, yeah, good and tired. How many know you get good results when you put in the work, right? This is what Jesus is talking about. He's just talking about building your house on the Word, on His sayings, on the Word of God. It's not easy. It's not always easy. What I mean is not easy. Your flesh doesn't want to do everything that the Bible requires of you. And the problem is it works out for you for a while, but when storms hit, when the stream arises, that's when we're going to find out who did the work and who didn't do the work. I don't know about you, but I like good results. Amen. I like it. I'd rather do the hard work at the beginning and get the good results at the end rather than just slough off and be lazy and get terrible results. Because as a pastor, I've just known this. You know, sometimes people want you to fix, not none of you sweet people, but sometimes people want you to fix things they've been messing up for 30 years. Okay, isn't that right, Pastor Brett? You've been there. You pastored for years. They messed it up for 30 years, and they want one appointment with you, and they want you to fix everything wrong in their life in one counseling session, and if you don't, they leave the church. It's like you might as well not even come in because you've been messing it up for 30 years. You've got to change some things. You got to start building on the rock. You got to do some digging. Anybody ever dug foundations? I have. I used to work, like when I was younger, work construction. You know, my uncle was a house builder. And so we would hit him up for jobs, you know, in the summertime, you know, and all. My first job, he hired me first time, was 12 years old. And my job, they were taking dirt out of this pasture. They were using the dirt someplace for construction sites, so they had a bulldozer and a dump truck, and the bulldozer would load the dump truck, you know, with dirt, and then it would pull out of the pasture. Well, there were cows in there, bulls, whatever. And so my job was to open the gate, let the trucks in and out, and keep the cows from getting out. And I remember one time standing there, and this bull's looking right at me, and I'm thinking, how am I going to stop him if he wants to leave? I didn't get a gun. I don't have a club. I'm 12. Amen. But that was my job, you know. So we worked, you know, and of course, you know, and in those days, you know, today they bring in a backhoe and dig the footings, you know what I'm saying? Because they got to be like 2 feet deep or so, and so wide, you know, to get them below the frost line. And so, but in those days, the backhoe, it had a handle on it, and it was a shovel. And, you know, the guys that frame the houses aren't going to dig the footings. I'll let you figure that out. I remember one time my dad wanted to build a 32 by 32 garage. And so he said, we're going to dig the footings. I always knew what we meant. We was a way of saying you're going to do it. And so I tried to talk to him. I said, well, Dad, you know, our neighbor down here about a quarter mile has got a backhoe. Why don't we just go get that? Oh, this won't take no time. 32 by 32, 2 feet deep. You figure it out. I was out there for days. But praise God, you got to do it, right? Yeah. Because if you just build it on top of the ground, when the storm comes, it's gone. That's what Jesus is saying. Our lives are like when we do the Word, when we're doers of the Word. Remember the Bible talked about in James about being doers of the Word, not hearers only, right? Deceiving your own selves. Right. See, what the deception is everything looks good for a while. You know what I'm saying? Everything looks good. You can build a house. You can build two right side by side, and one's got a good foundation. Others just built on the ground, and they look good for a while, but there is a time coming when you're going to see the difference. You're going to see the difference because it's going to show up. And so that's what James was saying. You got to continue in the word and you got to be a doer of the work. That's what James 1:25 says. Be a doer of the work, not the word, the work. What we saying doing the word is work. Come on, everybody. Doing the word's work sometimes, right? Have you ever had your flesh want to do things that you did that the word told it not to do? Have you ever had to fight it?
Sure.
Oh, no, my flesh just always behaves. Well, that lying devil has got a hold of you. It needs to come out. Even Paul said he had to make his flesh behave.
Exactly right.
See, I think is what happens is Christians, their flesh wants to do things wrong, and they think, well, I thought I was a Christian. Well, Paul said he kept his body under. If you have to keep your body under, that means it's wanting to do something it shouldn't want to do. You know, your body didn't get born again. You got born again. And thank God when you got born again, you got power over sin. But it comes from the inside, not from the outside. You can't will your way to it. You use your will, but you got to have some spiritual power. And thank God you have spiritual power residing in you when you got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But you gotta, we may talk about this in a little bit if we have time, but you gotta keep your mind renewed with the Word of God. When I got saved, I realized I'm gonna have to do a couple things here if I'm gonna make this, because I came out of a lifestyle, like I've told you before about it. I came out of that lifestyle and I realized I gotta do something here. Or, you know, it's too easy to get back into that. First of all, my friends wanted to drag me back into that. All right, let's just start there. They wanted to drag me back in. Thank God I got something inside of me. Amen. And so, thank God I was going to a good church.
Amen.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And when I first went into that church, it freaked me out because they did everything I never. We didn't do that in the bars. You know, after I got saved, I heard people say, tongues are of the devil. I thought, well, are you nuts? I ran around with the devil. He didn't have any tongues when I was with him. I never went to a bar, said Jack Daniels, rum and coke, you know, peppermint snaps, and tongues. I never had a friend say, hey, let's go do a hit of tongues. Or you got some tongues with you that I can... Nah, it's just goofiness. That's in the Bible. Paul spoke with tongues. All the early church spoke with tongues. It's the latter goofy church that's backslid does it. Sorry, but it's just the truth. You may be saved. You may be good. You may love God. You may have more fruit of the Spirit than some of these tongue talkers. Probably do. From some of them I've ran into. But anyway, praise the Lord. Not talking about you guys. I'm just preaching. Amen. I love this one guy on the radio. He's in heaven now. J. Vernor McGee. How many remember J. Vernor McGee? He was a good, good Bible teacher, as long as he taught about what he knew about. Okay. Well, he was talking about tongues one day, and he said, I don't believe tongues are for today. I remember how he would talk. However, I will admit, many of those that speak in tongues live a lot better lives than we do. I thought, J. Vernor, the devil gave you something to make you live a holier life? Think about it. Just think about it. God bless him. He's in heaven. Remember, Jesus paid it all, right? Remember, that's what his theme song, Jesus paid it all. All the J. Vernon, you got to know, Jesus did pay it all, brother. Amen. I'm not knocking him because he loved the Lord. Amen. He had a lot of good things. But we all have areas where we're a little blind in. Amen. And his was there. But anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Listen, you have to understand that doing the word is work. You have to make your flesh behave. You have to make your mind shut up. I remember those first days when I first got saved on Friday nights, my mind would be going, what are you doing? You're sitting here reading the Bible or listening to somebody preach or whatever, and you should be out partying. What is with you? My mind it had to be renewed. How many know what I'm talking about? It had to be renewed. You know what I'm saying? And so I just told, shut up. Just shut up. You're not in charge anymore. I got a new man on the inside. He's born again. He's in charge. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to take the hard way, dig deep, and have good results. Amen. But too many Christians, I'm telling you, they just take the easy way. You know, well, I don't want to make my flesh behave. They can't even get up and go to church.
Come on.
Why do you get so quiet? You're all at church. I thought you'd at least say amen. Can't even get out of bed and go to church, and yet I have authority. You don't even have authority over your flesh. You don't even have authority over sleep yet, over your bed yet. Tell me you got authority over the devil and you can't even deal with a bed? You can't even get out of your bed. Come on, man. What's wrong with you? What was that one song that Keith Green sang? Jesus Rose from Dead. Come on, get out of your bed. I remember that song. Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. I mean, understand, sometimes we think we're this big super spiritual giant, and you know, we don't have much going on, because I'm just talking in general terms. People don't have much going on because they don't live the word. They don't dig deep enough. See, you got to dig deep. What do you mean dig deep? I mean, you got to feed on the Word of God. Not only you read your Bible, yes, but how many know the Bible talks about we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you have to have your mind renewed. And let me just tell you something else. You need to hear. There's people that stay home and they're their own pastor, they're their own church, everything. Look, God gave us fivefold ministry for a reason. Because you can't be perfected without it, according to what Paul said. Amen. And so you need somebody else's perspective besides yours. I mean, I'm a pastor. I've been preaching for 44 years. I still get other people's perspective on the Word of God besides mine. I've got these men here and others that preach. And then my friends that preach and people that I trust that maybe on a national level that I listen to, that I feed off them every day. I'm feeding off somebody's preaching or teaching almost every day of the year. Almost every day. Hardly ever miss it, because I need somebody else's perspective. I need somebody putting some faith into me. Hallelujah. And the most faith you're going to get is when somebody's preaching to you. Faith cometh by hearing. It does come by reading. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I believe, just from my own experience, the largest amount I get is when I hear somebody else preaching the Word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because they're saying things that the Spirit's telling them to say to me. They don't even know it, but they're saying things that's feeding my spirit and helping me. I don't know how many times I've preached and people say, "We just talked about that on the way to church. Pastor, was you in our car?" No, but the Holy Spirit was in your car. And I've been acutely aware that I'm preaching. I'm just preaching to something, just one person. Y'all can listen in, but somebody just needed that. Amen. And so I've had that happen many, many times. And I don't know that's coming. I don't even know I'm doing it sometimes. Most of the time, I don't even know I'm doing it. But see, that's the way the Spirit perfects us. That's the way we grow. That's the way we mature. We don't just do it all on our own. Amen. I mean, people that I'm called to the ministry. Where you go to church at? I don't go to church. Well, where are you going to preach at? Amen. See, I don't even want people preaching to you that don't have a church. I'm like, you got to obey the Bible here, man. Amen. And so, thank God, our minds can be renewed. But we just can't. We need help with our minds being renewed. That's why God raised up men and women of God to preach the Word. Amen. You mean you believe in women preachers? Are you kidding? My mom preached to me all the time. I got saved over it eventually. Praise the Lord. No, of course I do. God, there's no male or female in Christ. Right? What about the women keep silent in church? Well, we're not going to teach on that tonight. But if you take that literally, that means Jill was way out of order by leading us in praise and worship. What woman, Mona just said, yeah, that she's way out of order. If she's supposed to keep silence in church, silent means shut up. How many know we probably better think about this a little bit more and then maybe rightly divide it with the rest of the Word of God, where the God said your sons and your daughters can prophesy. I get amused, like this one group, you know, they don't believe in women preaching in churches, or they don't believe in women preaching in churches, yeah. But yet, if you ask them what prophecy is, they say, well, it's preaching. Well, the Bible says your sons and your daughters shall preach then. By your definition. So how many, we need to dig a little deeper. Instead of just taking surface shots and, you know, what I'm saying. People get one scripture and they just run like a wild antelope, you know. It's like, slow down a little bit here, bud. Read the rest of the Bible. Amen. Amen. And so anyway, we're not preaching on that tonight. But anyway, we got to dig deep into the Word if we're going to have a solid foundation. The Word will make you strong. Yeah. The Word, how many know the Word will make you normal? Yeah. Right? Goofy Christians don't know the Word of God. You ever met some people that are so weird? It's like, man, I don't know, what rock did you crawl out from under? I mean, I do now believe in alien life. Amen. I had a guy, he was in our church one time, and I, you know, you don't want to do these things, but you just can't let him do stuff like this. He was going around to young Christians in the church. We had some new believers, and he was telling them stuff, you know, that was just off the wall. And so I called him on it. You know, you can't do that. You know, he was going around saying there's an earthquake coming to Indiana. It's going to split the state in half. There's going to be a 52 on the Richter scale. I said, brother, the Richter scale only goes to 10. So I've already got your prophecy judged as wrong, all right? How many know? Some people try to be spiritual and they just end up being silly. Yeah. You just need to get back into the Word. I've been in prayer lines before and people say, you got a word for me? Yeah, get in your Bible.
That's right.
I might have a word for you, I might not, but listen, don't be wanting a word. You got a word. Yeah. I mean, God wants to give you a word. How many know He knows where you're at? Right? Thank God. I've gotten words before. They were from God. They blessed me. But I don't build my life on that. I build my life on God's Word. Amen? I mean, thank God. You know, I mean, like I said to one person one time, you know, they're talking about being prophesied to go to Africa or something like that. And I said, well, you better take that prophet with you, because if you didn't know you're supposed to go, how will you know when you're supposed to come home? You're going to need them to get back home. See, it's just goofiness. God's not goofy.
No.
Amen. People are, but God's not. God's solid. His Word will make your life solid. His Word will make your life strong. And that's what Jesus said. He said, dig deep, man. Dig deep into the Word. Dig deep into it. You know, Paul told us in Timothy, he said that... Well, let's just go read that. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. I think we ought to read that instead of just quote it. Let's go read that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Remember Jesus said that remember that the devil came to Jesus and he said, and Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. He'd been fasting. And it's just like the devil to show up when you're fasting. Right? He may leave you alone for 3 weeks, but go fast. He'll give you visions. Visions of Twinkies let down from heaven in a great sheet and stuff like that. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? I had a minister tell me one time, he said, I never announce when I'm fasting. He said, I never say a word about it. Because, he said, it takes the devil at least part of the day before he figures out I'm doing it. But then, you know, come on, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many ever fasted And you think about everything in the refrigerator. It's like all of a sudden you remember everything that's in there. Well, that's supernatural help, because you can't do that on your own. You're thinking, you know, wait, man, that chicken casserole, that's probably been there for a month, but that's right back there in the corner. A little heat on that thing, I think it'd probably kill all bacteria and we'd be good to eat that. Don't tell me you don't think everything's like that, all right? But look at this. I mean, that's the devil. And when Jesus was fasting, remember the devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
He said, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by
bread
alone, but by how many words?
Every
word. Not our favorite word. Not the ones we like. Not the ones we got highlighted. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I was thinking about that one day. I thought, I wonder how blessed our lives would be if we really did that. If we really lived by every word that came out of the mouth of God. I don't know about you. I'm still working on it. Right? I haven't caught up to every word yet. But the more words I live by, the more blessed my life is. Amen. Now, I remember some things, you know, as you grow, you progress, God starts dealing with you. I mean, He doesn't... Is anybody glad that God doesn't tell you everything that still needs fixed in you at once?
we'd quit. You know, about time, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, about time you think you got everything right and figured out, he said, you'll find your feet where your head used to be. Because there's still a lot more, amen. Oh, yeah. And sometimes we got blind spots and God has to show us. Amen. Right? You know, now we got these vehicles that, you know, they tell us if somebody's over in our lane, you know, it beeps at you or whatever. I used to have one that it would try to drive the vehicle for you. You know what I'm saying? It would. It tried to drive you. I got so aggravated. I just turned all the safety stuff off. I said, forget this. I don't want some stupid car or truck trying to tell me how to drive. All that's off. You go down the interstate, you know, and you're doing, well, you're just doing something. And people are in your way, you know. And this vehicle, if you got up to, if you start up, get closer, it starts slowing you down. And I thought, are you kidding me? I want to be Parnelli Jones, like the Indy 500. You get up there right behind him, you know, like, and that thing wouldn't let me. If you'd get off the road a little bit, it'd start jerking the wheel. If you tried to cross the center line, you know what I'm saying, going down the interstate. If you tried to pass somebody and you didn't use your turn signal, like is the law, this thing would jerk you. It's like, man, you're getting off the line. I just shut everything off and said, I'll drive. Thank you. My wife helps me. I don't need two helpers. Well, I appreciate it sometime. You know, I'm glad she says something sometime because I'm not watching. Somebody's got to. Praise the Lord. Come on, man. Say amen. You know that's the truth. Come on, ladies. Say amen. You know you got to need some help. You help me. What does that mean? I help you, man, get to the store and back. Get you to Walmart and back. You ain't got, oh, gosh. I can't even make it in Sam sometimes without getting patted on the shoulder by one of the employees like, you dumb, stupid thing. Why'd your wife let you out? Anyway, that's another story. Praise the Lord. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. Verse 1. Now the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly. Now the word expressly means he speaks, he's outspoken about this, or he's distinct about this, he's emphatic about this, that in the latter times, and that word latter times means the very, very end, which is where we're at right now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now he's talking about that in these last days, people would depart from the faith. Well, how many know when you depart from the faith, it's because you departed from the Word. You can't depart from the Word without departing from the faith. And how many know you can't know the Word unless you've read the Word, right? So some would depart from the faith, but notice he said they would quit listening to the Word, basically. You can say it like this. They would quit listening to the Word. Depart from the faith means they quit listening to the Word and they start listening to doctrines of demons. Now, he's not talking just about sinner people. He's talking about Christians. See? But even in our own country, the more we have departed from the Word, the crazier it has gotten. Society is nuts today. They don't even know what sex they are. Man, I had that figured out in grade school. And see, they even tell our kids, just little kids, little tykes, that if you feel like you're a girl, then we'll turn you into one. You can't turn somebody into something that they're not. That don't happen. Instead of being honest and helping people and saying, the problem's not in your body, it's in your head. We need to fix that. Right? Now go watch 4 or 5 John Wayne movies and come back. He'll teach you how to be a man. Well, at least he had some honor about him. You know. No. What's the problem here? It's doctrines of demons. Yet we have churches today that are telling people this stuff's okay, don't worry about it. They don't know the Word. They're not building their lives on the Word. What's going to happen? It's all going to crash. Your life's going to crash. Amen. Do we really want a society where, you know, men can come on our granddaughter's bathrooms? In my day, we punched you out for that. And I'm not so sure I'm still not in my days a little bit there where I might not do that. I'm a little older now. I might have to pick something up. But a brick works pretty good in those conditions. I'm not your normal pastor. I guess you figured that out by now. It's like, man, I saw a guy go in where my granddaughters were at, you know, and he's just going to undress. I'm going to waylay that guy. It's going to be a bad day for him and me both. I'll probably go to jail, but he ain't going to like it either. In love. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus got a whip and ran them all out of the temple. I'd get a whip and run that guy out of that bathroom. You get in there where it says men. Right? I went to a bathroom one time. It was the wrong one. I walked in there and there weren't any urinals around. I thought, what is with this? It dawned on me. Wait a minute. You're in the wrong bathroom. But it was an honest mistake. I was in, what's that restaurant called? Zaxby's. They have, on their doors, they have, what do they have? Roosters and hens. I just saw hens and it was one of my days. I thought it said men's. Just one of them days with me. I have those days every now and then. I'm not paying much attention to anything going on. Amen. I need a babysitter certain days. Most days I'm okay, but there are a few days it's like, you know, where's my wife at? And I just fling that door open and I walk in and I think, man, this is odd. No urinals. We are getting sissified in America. But I thought, well, I'll go use the stall. So I'm in the stall and all of a sudden it hits me. You're in the wrong bathroom. I thought, man, this is great. I'm a pastor, a local pastor. Doesn't know what bathroom to go to. But that was a mistake. I didn't do that on purpose. I know where I belong. Amen. And I sometimes get these surveys. I hope you don't mind me talking about this stuff, but I think, you know, people, Christians need to know this is goofiness, and if your church accepts it, you need to go find another church that accepts the Word of God. Get out of there. Come out from among her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. So anyway, you know, I mean, I get these things, and it just aggravates me. It says, are you a male, female, or are you don't know, or are you one of the 26 others the Democrats have come up with? God made two. And I'm like, I'm not confused. I'm a man. And I'm not, you listen, I understand people's lives get messed up and the devil messes people up. How many understand that? Right? People say, I was born that way. Well, you can be born again. I don't have any problem that you were born messed up. We were all born messed up. All right? But let's don't say it's normal. There's a lot of things we did were messed up before we were saved. Some of you did things that were really messed up. But that's where you were saved. After you're saved, you start living by the Word, right? You quit giving heed to doctrines of demons. Amen. But we're seeing this today where the church is departing from the faith. Not only has our nation departed from the Word in a lot of ways, but the church of all things, and people in churches are. I've seen signs on churches now in our own city that welcome lifestyles that God says is an abomination. He said it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man like a woman. Yeah, well, he said that, not me. Well, that just makes me mad. Well, go talk to the Creator. Don't talk to me. I didn't write the book. I mean, you know, if I come in and tell you, said Dad said go to bed, don't get mad at me, get mad at Dad. He's the one that said it. I'm just relaying the message. I'm on God's side about it. That's what he said about it. I just take his side. How many of yours works out good when you take God's side? If God says something is bad for you, I mean, he's not trying to curtail your fun. He's trying to keep you alive. Certain things will kill you. And so, anyway, You know, we all have probably all been touched in these areas with family members and stuff. I know I have. I'm sure you have. I don't hate these people. I don't dislike these people. I love these people. I'm still nice to these people. But I'm not accepting it. I'm not going to say it's okay and we're good here. We're not good. Now, we may love one another, but I'm never going to partake of what you're doing and say and give you my blessing on it. It's not going to happen. Amen. All right, moving right along, since that's going over so well. You can do what you want to with it, but I'm never going to say, okay, well, you know, God, I'm just not going to be judgmental. You know, the Bible says to judge all things. You don't judge people, but we judge things. I don't judge you whether you're going to heaven or hell. That's not my job. That's God's job. My job, the Bible says, is to be a fruit inspector, though. And my Bible says to judge all things. And you can judge things without being a judgmental person. I hope you understand that. When Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, he didn't say we don't judge whether things are right or wrong. We're just not judgmental people. We give people grace and mercy that they can get help and get turned around. We don't kick them to the curb and say you're done forever. So I don't care how messed up your life is, you can come in here and hear the preaching of the Word of God. What if people who live in an alternative lifestyle come here, Pastor? Well, they can come and hear the preaching of the Word, but if I ever catch you trying to recruit or so do something or spread that, you're in trouble. But if you want to hear the Word and get delivered, we're good. If you come here and you want to make disciples, you got a problem with me, and it's going to happen quickly. All right, and I hope you understand that. I'm not walking out of love. I'm walking in love towards the flock of God. See, all right. So, breathe, everybody. Thank God we did this on a Wednesday night. Amen. How many know you got to live by the Word, right? You're going to live by the Word. Live by the Word, right? Look at Joshua. We'll close right here, I think. Joshua chapter 1. We may look at one more scripture. We have time. Go to Joshua chapter 1. See, and when we talk about living by the Word, you know, we can talk about the moral issues and all that, and that's very important. But did you know God has something to say about your finances? His Word does. His Word has something to say about your health. It has something to say about, you know, all kinds of things that would try to approach your life. And we live by the Word in every area of our life. We endeavor to. Amen. I don't just live by what the world says about my healing or even the church. Because there's a lot of the church that are messed up on this. Well, God might heal you, might kill you. Well, I mean, that's not the Bible. He came to give us life, right? So I'm going to live by the Word. See, people say, well, you've got that sickness on you, and maybe God put that on you to try to teach you something. How many know the Holy Spirit's the teacher of the church? Yeah, but I learned something being sick. I didn't say you couldn't learn something being sick, but if you learned something being sick, it's because you heard the Word and the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. It wasn't your sickness. People used to teach, you know, trouble, calamity makes you more like Jesus. I'm thinking, well, that's true. All of California would have. You know, they'd all be saved because they've had a mess over the many years in my lifetime. I mean, I remember the time when California was, they were prophesying that California was going to fall off in the ocean. You know, go buy property in Arizona on the border because that's where the beach is going to be at. All kinds of things were happening, you know, fires and earthquakes and just craziness. It didn't make it more spiritual. We love California people. I've got pastor friends in California. I've got friends that preach in California. I called one the other, talked to one here a while back. He was in California. I said, oh, you're in the People's Republic of California? I'm moving right along. Praise the Lord. I mean, we went to the store. You can't even get a bag. Can't even get a grocery bag to put your bags in because, you know, I mean, there might be some, you know, all right, moving around. Praise the Lord. I'm like, this is just goofy. I want a bag for my donuts. You got to bring your own bag now, you know what I'm saying? And then they expect your bag. I mean, make sure this is a bag. Make sure this bag isn't plastic. Okay. It's real quiet in here. Maybe you didn't know that, right? We were Trader Joe's, and we had to get our own bags or something. And the check, remember that? You were with me. What did the checkout guy say? He said, our crazy governor.
Something like that.
Yeah. Hear how quiet it is? Y'all in favor of weirdness? Use some common sense. Don't throw your trash bags in the ocean.
Yeah, how hard is that?
How stupid do you got to be? We got to take your bag. You're so stupid, we got to take your bags away from you because you'll throw them in the ocean. I know there's people that stupid, but why should we all suffer like that? I mean, take their trash bag and feed it to them or something. All right, Joshua, this is just, man, I'll tell you what. Joshua chapter 1, go there. We've got to close before this gets any worse. I'm just talking to you about how goofy our country has gotten because we've gotten away from the Word. Where's the wisdom gone? Wisdom's in the Word. You go from the Word, you lose the wisdom, and it gets just stupid and goofy. You know what I'm saying? Can't even have a plastic straw. I hate those paper straws. Can't we have some common sense here? You throw your straw in the ocean and we're throwing you in to get it out. All right. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I know this isn't like the most eloquent, greatest message you ever heard, but we need to live by God's word. Look what God told Joshua. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." Now, how many of we would say the word, right? Yeah. When he says the book of the law, that's all he had was the book of the law, the five books of the Pentateuch. That's what he had. But God said, well, we would say today, New Testament, the word, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do. Notice this, not just meditate on it only, but do it. You meditate that you do it. And if you do meditate on it, you will do it. Right. Meditate thereon to do according to all that's written therein. For then you, notice this, you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Isn't it what Jesus said? If you do my sayings, your house is going to stand. You're going to have good success. So anytime my house gets to shaking, I have to go back and say, okay, what am I not doing that I'm supposed to do? Or what am I doing that I'm not supposed to do? See, somewhere or another, I've departed from the word and my house is being shaken now. So I have to go back and find out what have I allowed in my life? Amen. And why is my house, you know, we're going to have storms, but our house is supposed to be able to stand. Even though we have storms, our house still stands. But Jesus talked about the house, you know, the ruin of it's great. Amen. See, sometimes, you know, marriages fall apart. People have that. We don't condemn that. But the truth of the matter is both couples will do the word, it'll stand. Right? And we don't condemn people that have issues. Sometimes you can't help it because sometimes your spouse just wants to go crazy. But if they would do the word, we both do the word, we're going to be all right. See, if everybody does the word, we're all going to be good. Amen. So we have to build our houses on. I hope you got something out of this. I said some things that maybe weren't politically correct tonight. Maybe a couple things, maybe one or two, maybe that weren't politically correct tonight. But you know, political correctness will get you in hell. That's where it'll take you. Because God's not into political correctness. He's into truth. And if it crosses your correctness, that's just too bad. We don't mean to, but it just is what it is. We're just not out to offend people. But Jesus, you know, he offended a lot of people. One time they all left him. Remember that? Except the 12. Everybody, all of his disciples, and they were his disciples. And he preached there in John 6, and they all boogied. And Jesus said, looked at the 12, said, "You guys going too?" I mean, this Jesus Evangelistic Association look like it's collapsing here, but all my supporters are leaving. But how do you know he was giving us the truth? And he told those disciples later on. He said, you know, "You're my disciples indeed if you continue in my word." And if you do that, it'll make you free. You'll know the truth. It'll make you free. Hallelujah. And that's kind of where my life has been since I met Jesus Christ and started doing my best. Now, nobody's perfect, but doing my best to follow Him, to walk in His Word. Yes, I've missed it. We all have. But that's on me, not on God. But every time, you know, I've just continued to get back up and follow Him. I've watched my house stand, and your house can stand too. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.